something that might be helpful to us. Isaiah 58, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. At the house of Jacob their sins, yet they seek me daily. That's what we have been doing. Now here's our photograph. They like to know my way. That's what we've been doing. That's the reason we've come here. Listen to sermons. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. That's us. But now, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? The woman said, not fasted 21 days, and I got nothing yet. How long did you fast? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, ye fast for strife and debate. That ain't us, of course, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen the day for a man to afflict his soul? And here's something that often comes to my mind when I see the altar filled with people who sort of make a vacuum cleaner out their nose. A day for a man to afflict his soul, is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? Excuse me, you didn't know that was possible. And to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Well, I'm just using this as an illustration to show us that there's something better coming. Thank God. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. There's something in that. You know, if you don't forgive from the heart, now we forgive. We've been taught to forgive. But down in the heart there are these biting little things. You've got somebody by the throat in your heart. We don't do it outwardly at all. But in our heart there is the memory of grievances. Somebody has grieved us. Or as the Southerners sing, he my main, but he done me wrong. And you'll never forget as long as you live. He done me wrong. Some people have a wonderful knack of remembering things. I think that's been one of my failings. Never forgetting a thing, never forgetting. Outwardly, yes, but inwardly, always keeping a reserve hatchet. You got a sort of a closet somewhere where you keep these hatchets polished. Or maybe a bottle of iodine or something, just in case. Just in case you meet a certain person, or not even meet them, but just think of them. How do you think of them? Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Oh, after all, the true worship of God is done in the heart. If you forgive from the heart. Now that's what God's talking about. That's the fast that I have chosen. That ye undo every burden. You remember the man to whom the king forgave a great debt because he begged him. And then he had hardly gone out of the palace when he met a brother who owed him a dime. And he got him by the throat. He said, give me that dime, or there'll be a duel. How many people do you have by the throat this morning? Spiritually speaking. Boy, we choke them, don't we? Not outwardly, of course. You might get choked yourself. But down in the heart. Oh, to undo the heavy burdens. how clean, how pure this heart of mine must be. We talk about every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure, and then we allow this impurity in our hearts. We don't allow the light to shine. My sister Rose was a young woman. She was cleaning the house one day, and I came home just at that time. They said, why do you draw the shades? She says, I just cleaned it. You know, it looks so clean when the shades are drawn. And that's why we keep the shades drawn, and we don't like this light. Now, for instance, now the light is shining. Shining. You see the dust? As long as the sun doesn't shine through the window, everything looks clean. The air here looks very clean. Yesterday I was in the prayer room in our home, down the basement, and the sun shone through the Venetian blinds, and I was able to count the blinds. There are 26 blinds, and there were 26 sunbeams that shone, that ate their way through that thick dust in that prayer room. You didn't see it. You didn't know it was there. Well, Sister Frieda hasn't had a chance at that prayer room for a long time because we've been here in church. And it's the sunshine that discloses the dirt, all the millions of atoms and molecules of dust which you swallow with every breath. You swallow a billion atoms, and these atoms are solar systems. Terrible. And how many people have you got by the throat this morning, and God sees it, and he'd like to let the light shine into my soul, and he says, this is the fast that I have chosen. One act of purifying my heart. And that's what he means when he says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We clean up, really, and we let the light shine. Oh, let that light shine through you, and it'll expose all that rubbish and all that uncleanness. And when God says he seeketh such who worship him in spirit and in truth, he means people that really want to please him. And I can't please him by bowing my head down as a bulrush. That may make my prayer more comfortable. Sackcloth and ashes may make my knees to hurt a little less. But that isn't the kind of a prayer and fast that God has chosen. He says, unbind the heavy burdens, let the captive go free. Let go that brother of yours. Father will not forgive us our transgressions if we don't forgive from the heart. But to forgive from the heart means more than to say it with my lips or to act it with a superficial smile. It means a cleansing of my heart, where the love of Jesus Christ takes the place of my natural love, which fails in every instance. And so now that our weeks of prayer come to an end, God wants that grace to operate that Sister Henning spoke about. And it will, thank God. The kind of a fast that I have chosen, it is to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And now maybe we ought to stop right at this verse and do it now. Come, see if you can open this knot wherewith you have tied me. Tie me, oh boy. Tied it around my neck. I can feel a choking sensation now. Well, God says wonderful things. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. There's the best teaching on divine healing that I've ever seen. Then we pray and pray and pray, and we say, now God, why don't you answer my prayer? Yeah, but he says, look how many you've got in prison, down in your basement, you've got a dungeon. And there, when the soldiers of Napoleon came to Spain, they came into a monastery, and they were going to break right in. And the monks came with their eyes turned inside out and with their hands folded, and they asked him to desist from defiling the temple of the Lord. Why, this house is dedicated to the worship of God. It's a house of prayer. And so he commanded his soldiers to go through it anyway and to examine it. And they went through and they examined it, and they found all the icons and the pictures and the altars and so on. And they saw the monks there praying and chanting their prayers. But one of the soldiers was a little too wise. He took a pail of water and he poured it on the marble floor, and it disappeared instantly. Ah, they knew there was a room underneath. So they dug up, they went down there, and they found dozens of poor Protestants buried alive, starving to death. Their bodies had been tortured, and they found all these torture implements down in the basement underneath this house of prayer. They found the Spanish Virgin. You know, when they kill a person, they had the picture of a woman that opened up on hinges, and inside were spikes. I've seen it myself. And then they'd put the victim in there and close that door with a bang, and the spikes would finish the victim. And they had thumb screws, and they had all the implements of torture of the holy butchers of Rome and the saintly Holy Father. And these soldiers, Napoleon couldn't stop, or the general. They tried them on these monks. And tell you, they stopped praying and turning their eyes inside out, or maybe they began doing it then. Now your house, your heart is a temple of God, a house of prayer, a temple of the living God, but you got a basement there, a torture chamber, where thoughts, feelings, judgments, criticisms crawl around. God says he's going to try it on you. He says, wherewith thou judgest another, thou thyself shalt be condemned. Oh God, how guilty we are before God. Unless we purify, how does it say we purify our souls? Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Beloved, if that isn't the result of our weeks of prayer, then we've wasted our time. If the result is not a truly purifying of ourselves, even as he, we will not be partakers of Christ. But here he shows us the way to divine healing. He says, your health shall spring forth speedily. That's where the fountain of healing has been stopped. The love of Jesus Christ is dead or lies dormant. And God wants us to wake up and realize what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. It means to present to God a vessel that is sanctified and meet for the Master's use, in which the Master can show forth his virtues, his glory. The highway of holiness is a way not of hypocritical religion, but of love, joy, and peace. I believe God's been dealing with us about these things. I know he's been dealing with me very strongly. Thank God for conviction. I do thank God more and more for conviction. Without that, there's never repentance. What is conviction? Why, it's the Holy Ghost making intercession for me according to the will of God. when I pray not to cover my sin by a superficial cloak of God's grace, but when I pray to be cleansed, when my heart desires the purity within that God desires. David says, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and when God can make me desire that truth in the inward part, then I'll repent. That's true repentance. And I'll get rid of my sin, the inward sin. I will really be cleansed, and my health shall spring forth speedily. Does God want us to be well in body? Why, of course he does. Certainly, he says, how much more shall your heavenly Father? When I was a young fellow and got sick, I remember when my father discovered it, how anxious, he was much more anxious for me to be well than I was. Why, he went to all kinds of extremities to bring me back to health. He would have taken my sickness upon himself if he could have healed me that way. I know he would have. And God says, how much more shall your heavenly Father, but beloved, he chastens us that we might be partakers of his holiness. And if I pay no attention to his word and to his will, God seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And thereby, he says, a clean heart, a heart that trembles at his word. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. And he says, thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. People are willing to kneel here for hours, and lots of people are willing to fast. God says he doesn't desire that in the first place. But he desires a broken and a contrite spirit that trembles at his word. And I know that God has blessed us in these weeks with conviction. Just think what would happen to us if there were no conviction. Yeah. I read an account by a physician some time ago about pain. And the statement was made that if there was no pain, if the human body was not subject to pain, soon all of humanity would be dead. There would be no warning signal when you get sick. You'd have your arms and legs cut off and you wouldn't feel it. People wouldn't shun danger anymore. And in a short while, there would be no humanity. Pain is a great blessing. It's the warning signal that God has put into the body to show you that something's out of harmony with his divine law. Something's wrong. There's danger. But oh, this pain of an awakened conscience. How we need to be heard to the quick. We will never be partakers of his holiness. We might manufacture our own holiness, but oh, to be partakers of thy holiness. And look at the wonderful promises. Marvelous. He says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear. Lord, do you mean that? My God, do you mean that? And do you mean that these blessings are withholden from me because I don't pay attention to your will? And you notice that here he makes known his will for my daily life. Oh, thank God for weeks of prayer. We need them. But if God had his way, we wouldn't need them. We would pray without ceasing. Every act of ours, every thought, every word, every feeling would be under the control of the Holy Ghost. And we would know something about that 91st Psalm. In the midst of danger, he would cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we would trust. We would make the Lord our refuge, our habitation, and we would abide in him forever. You've read that little book by Brother Lawrence, The Practice of the Presence of God. Someone pinned up part of it in our kitchen over the sink. And he says there that while he was washing dishes, he was more inward and more in touch with God than when he was bowing his head down as a bulrush in the chapel. Now, isn't it wonderful? Aren't you glad that God will walk with us? And God will hide us? And God will keep us as we go from this holy place into the commonplace experiences of everyday life? And he'll make true his promise. He'll make your light break forth as the morning. You'll be the light of the world, holding forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in your shop, in your office, in your home. Your light will shine because Jesus Christ will be your light. And thou shalt, and here are more, thy light shall break forth as the morning. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. You know what it is, the putting forth of the finger. Oh, if the Lord knew who that woman is, who that man is, what she did and what he did, how is it that we know all about it? Why is it that we're interested in it when God says, don't you judge? And when Jesus says, I judge no man, don't judge. Oh, that's the reason we're not more greatly blessed, folks. And thank God these things are in the Bible. And so he says, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord.